So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for each one that is here this morning. We pray that you would be with us as we entrust and look to you for guidance this morning. And may we open our hearts and our will and our way to you, that we would take what the Holy Spirit has for us as individuals, we'd apply it to our life, we'd make the necessary changes, and that we just might be obedient. If there's someone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they might come forward this morning and accept you. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't have a surrendered life, they've accepted you, but they haven't turned everything over to you, may they come and accept, dear Lord, an entire sanctification this morning as they would surrender their lives to you, that you might begin to work them in their lives in a great and new way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever used a phone, a GPS device, or something that gives you direction? Have you ever used one of those? Some of you have, some of you haven't. If you haven't, you know someone that does, I'm sure. Now, there used to be a commercial out when, kind of a humorous commercial, an insurance company would have a commercial, but it came about and said, have you ever had it say, recalculating route? Recalculating route when you take a wrong turn or you miss a wrong turn. Now, that's different than your spouse or somebody in the car saying, you missed your turn. This is the electronic device, and it says you've missed your turn. It gives you a new turn, a new direction, so to speak. Now, have you ever ignored the GPS because you know the local roads, and then actually you can get there faster? Now, I have done that too. Now, I also have to use a GPS, an application that works with the GPS on my phone to get me around traffic. And that's kind of nice because I drive in a lot of traffic. And I've ignored it before, and I paid the dear price of being stuck in that lane of traffic or the lanes of traffic, and I can't get through. There's other times I didn't turn it on, I wasn't paying any attention, and then I'm seeing traffic, and I turn it on, and if I would have just caught that exit, I would have saved myself a half hour. But I've ignored it before and got in trouble. So I've learned to pay attention. When I turn it on, that app for direction to get me around traffic and get me through the flow and get me there at least at a reasonable time, to pay attention, because when I've ignored it, I've gotten stuck. So that takes us to our sermon this morning. Our message is from the book of Jonah, if you want to begin to turn there. And the sermon title is, Are You Missing a Turn? Are You Missing a Turn? Now, if you're looking for Jonah, it's one of those hard to find. It's only got four books, and it's between the Obadiah and Micah. So if you find Psalms, take a right turn, and you will eventually get there. And for those of you that are using electronic devices for Bibles, it's spelled J-O-N-A-H. And you can look it up. It's not spelled N-O-H. N-O-A-H. Jonah was under the water. Noah was above the water. Some people in today's world, they don't know the difference between the two stories, and they might end up with Noah and the whale and Jonah and the ark. But it's not that way. It's Jonah under the water. Jonah and the whale. Jonah the great fish. Now then, maybe I've given you enough time. I've stalled long enough that you were able to find Jonah nestled there in the Old Testament. And I'd like for you to turn to the first chapter in the book of Jonah, and it'd be Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. Now, we're not going to read the entirety of this story. You're probably familiar with the story, but I will fill you in a little bit with what's going on, and you can review it later if you'd like to. Or if you have any questions, you know, we'll be sure to answer those afterwards if you'd like to direct them to us. But in Jonah chapter 1, we're beginning with reading with verse 1. We'll find our first point this morning is Jonah had direction from God. Jonah had direction from God. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now I know you're wanting to go on to the rest of the story, but that would be the next point. So verses 1 and 2, or the first point is, did you hear there? He says, the Lord came to Jonah and told him, Arise, go to Nineveh. So basically, God's telling him to go to Nineveh and preach. Preach. Now, what's significant about going to Nineveh? Well, Nineveh were, at that time, this is the Assyrians, and the Assyrians had built up things and they weren't nice. They're a little brutal. They're a rival country. They're coming in. So these are people that Jonah might not have really liked or cared for. Now, where is Nineveh? If you're kind of wondering where Nineveh is at, have you ever heard of some? It's located in a place you might have heard of called Iraq. It's from that area. And so that gives you a context. Here's Jonah, God's trying to go from Israel, which is right on the banks there where Israel is today, basically, and go east toward Iraq or Nineveh. And go preach to these people that you don't like. Well, you know, I've heard people before, God's given them direction, and they say something like, well, I'm praying about it. And that's legitimate that you're praying about it. But I've got other people, they say, I'm just waiting to see if that's God's will. But the way they say that, you can kind of tell they know what God's will is. They're stalling. It's like when we've told our children. Now, some of you may or may not be aware, we have 6 children. So we've been through this routine of sending kids to bed for a long time. And the youngest 2 think that they're the only ones that we've dealt with in this area. We've been trained. We've done this 4 other times. And so there's this certain techniques that they're stalling. They know what our direction is. Our direction is go to bed. And on the way to bed, now they're hungry. On their way to bed, oh, I had homework. On their way to bed, oh, what are you doing over there? I was just looking and seeing if possibly they're looking. They're stalling. They know what the direction is, but they're stalling. And sometimes when I hear people say, I'm just praying to see if this is, you know, make sure it's God's will. And by the way they say it, and I don't know if I get insights, I don't know what, but it just seems, and you can tell, I'm thinking, they know that's what God wants them to do. They're just stalling. They're just stalling. I'm sure you've never stalled when somebody's told you to do something that you weren't sure that you wanted to do. Okay, we'll keep going. We'll come back later. So, then, as we think about this whole concept, we come to this second point. They knew God. He knew God had given him direction, but what did he do with it? So Jonah's response is he went the other way. He went the other way. He tried to outrun God. He had direction, point 2. Jonah tried to outrun God. Well, what's the scriptural support? Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went. Now there's just foolishness in that report right there. He tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, we all should know better than that. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He tried to outrun God. Now, there's a little bit of geography in here. I told you where Iraq was. I told you where that is at. And you can kind of picture that in your mind. Now, Tarshish, there's different speculations of where Tarshish exactly was. Let me just say, Tarshish was not on his way to Iraq. It's the other way. One of the readings I've studied in the past is, it might even be in the direction of the Straits of Gibraltar. If you're of a geography kind of person, that means the other end of the Mediterranean. Basically, exact opposite direction from Nineveh. So he's going to run from the presence of God. Trying to outrun God. Okay, you got direction from God, and you try to outrun God. Now, there's been ministers in the past that have, this is a phrase that you would hear from time to time, is They're running from God. They're running from their call. There have been some that have run so long that basically they may have grieved the Holy Spirit. But once they come back around, they're in a better spot. You can't outrun God. Jonah tries. That's our point three. You can't outrun God. Now these some seems fairly straightforward, but it would seem that we would, how easily the straightforward sometimes evades us when God's telling us to do something. God gives you direction, you try to outrun him. Because we're smarter than he is too. But you try to outrun God in thinking that you can, but you can't. Now, we're going to jump to verse 17 in chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I will tell you that in the previous verses, God sent a big storm on the ship that he's on trying to get from God. The crew members think it's going to sink. The long and the short of it becomes that they figure out that it's Jonah. Jonah confesses. He says, "Throw me overboard." They reluctantly keep on trying to row and battle. Eventually, Jonah gets thrown overboard. And then verse 17, we find, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." You can't outrun God. This is the Creator. He can prepare a great fish for you. Just let that sink in. The Creator of the universe is telling you to do something. And you think you're going to outrun him. You can't. You can't. So then that brings us onto the continuing part of the story. He goes through the time in the great fish, and that might be for another sermon. But then we find out if we keep reading that Jonah goes and he preaches to the Ninevites. And the Ninevites receive the sermon, basically repent and change their ways. And God relents from what he was going to do. God doesn't crush them like he could. Jonah's preaching was effective. But look in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly." Remember, they accepted and he relented. God relented and didn't destroy him. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and says, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live.'" What was the point there? Jonah was not afraid of failure. Jonah was afraid of success. He was afraid that they would have repented. "I knew they would repent if I went. I knew you would relent." In the direction that God has given you in your life, are you afraid of failure or are you afraid of success? Are you afraid what will happen if you actually obey God? "I can't handle that ministry. I can barely handle the things that I'm doing now. What if this goes well? And I have to keep doing it. What if we had a bunch of kids? Or what if we had a bunch of teens? What if we had a lot of people? How would I keep up with all that? What if it's successful? Are you afraid of failure, or are you really afraid of success? But see, the God that can bless the ministry can bless the other outcomes. We were building a house. I took on a church that was struggling 50 miles away. And when I say we were building a house, that meant we were building. The hammer was in my hand. But while I was able to minister there, God provided them the funds from that to pay some people to help augment what was going on. And where people couldn't come and do the work, later I had people that I met that came and helped me design some things, like the HVAC that I installed. God will fill the gaps if you allow Him. But in running from God, you don't have the task. If He wanted to be obedient to God, but He didn't necessarily want the outcomes that He knew God would have. He couldn't handle the outcome. Because you can see there where in the midst of the turmoil, when he was running from God, and God turned around as they threw him over, the people on the ship were giving sacrifices to God when the storm stopped. Don't be afraid of the impact God can have in your life if you turned everything over to God. What if God called you to preach or be a missionary or just to keep doing the job you're doing and witness to the people around you? But what if I surrender all to God, what might He ask me to do? Can I tell you it's much better to be in the center of God's will where He put you than in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights? You're going to be miserable when you're outside of God's will. Jonah had direction from God. Do you have direction from God right now? Is God giving you direction? Are you running from God? Are you stalling? You know what you're supposed to do. But you've been making excuses. You've been trying to stall, like I'm stalling until the train goes by. But you're stalling. It's not going to change God's direction. You can't run from Him. You're not going to be happy continuing where you're at because you can't outrun Him. You'll either face Him and get in the center of His will, or you'll face the consequences either in this life or the life after. Think about the impact you could have on your community, your family, and those around you, and your church if you were in the center of God's will, doing what He's been asking you to do, but you've been stalling. Delay. Don't miss the moment that obedience has, the fulfillment that it brings. If you're on a football field and you wait and hesitate, you miss the opportunity. In a military campaign, there is timing and sequence. If you stall, it puts something at jeopardy. If you're in a band, everybody knows when the band's pulling. They call it pulling when they're marching to a different leader. One's going on this time and one's going that time. If we all, as a community of believers, only obey God and Him and do it when He tells us to do it, obedient when He tells us to be obedient, we can make an impact. But don't stall. And that brings us to our sermon title. Are you missing a turn? Now, this doesn't mean that this is all. I just started the sermon and we got more to go. But that's the point we've been trying to make. Are you missing a turn? If you're not walking with God, The term repent means to make an about face and go towards God. It's a marching term. Repent, about face, go towards God. Do you need to repent? Are you even in conversation with God? Now, you might be praying to God, but he's not obliged to listen to the prayers of a sinner. Did you realize that? You don't get access to the Holy of Holies and before the throne of God without having the blood of Christ applied. It doesn't happen that way. God can have an impact in your life. And God might be impacting your life through the prayers of others. Are you missing a turn this morning? Let's be standing together. Heads bowed and hearts praying. We're thankful that we have an altar here this morning. Some churches don't have altars. Some churches don't give altar calls. But the Holy Spirit might be giving you direction this morning that you need to come to this altar and have a word of prayer. So pray and ask God just privately, Lord, what would you have me do? And if God asks you to come out and accept him as Savior this morning, step out. If God's asking you to come and surrender that situation to him, do that. If God's saying, just resolve and make a decision this morning, I'm not going to keep running from God. So as I pray, feel free to come. After I'm done praying, please keep your heads bowed just for a couple more minutes, and I'll give you some instruction. Lord, we pray that each one here will be obedient to the Holy Spirit, whether they need to do something right now or later. Father, sometimes people want to delay. They want to wait. And Lord, they're trying to wait until the Holy Spirit stops pressing on them. They're trying to get out of the service, out of the door. Father, we pray that they wouldn't delay. They wouldn't wait. Because we don't know what the day holds. Father, just be obedient. We just ask that we would be obedient to you. We thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit. Be with us these next few moments.